Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
This episode is sponsored by GoDaddy.com, the world's largest web host and domain name registrar, with domains as low as $1.99 and hosting for less than $5 a month. Enter promo code STUFF10 at checkout and save 10% off your entire order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh.
I'm Chuck. The red light is on.
Do we have one of those?
No, we need one now.
Yeah, we totally do. It's usually just a, we hear our producer Jerry pressing a button.
Right.
And then we know to go. Yeah. We just start talking like talking monkeys.
It's like a German, the German train system. It's very efficient.
Yes, it is, Chuck. Chuck, as you know, it's been an altogether rotten day so far, right?
Yeah, hasn't been our best.
And what is it, like 3:30
in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, luckily it'll be over soon enough.
Yes.
And it's Friday. I'm even worse than I was before because rather than getting my usual Fresca, I got a Diet Cherry Coke by accident. And, right. You know, all respect to the Coca-Cola company, they've done really well for themselves, but Diet Cherry Coke is atrocious.
I like that you're suffering through it anyway rather than
wasting
it.
I opened it, you know, I've got to make do. But,
honorable.
You know, as bad as our day has been, right?
Yeah.
I can tell you somebody whose day was even worse.
Who's that?
How's that for a segue?
That's good.
I actually just set up the setup for the podcast. What do you think?
You're blowing my mind.
There's this woman named Patricia White Bull.
Uh-huh.
And she was a Cochiti Indian from outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And back when she was a lovely young 28, she was giving birth to her fourth child, a son named Mark. And, she was giving birth via C-section, and there were complications in the surgery. And Mrs. White Bull developed a blood clot in her lung, and it actually cut off oxygen to her brain, and she lapsed into a coma.
Wow.
Okay. So comas actually happen. They can happen fairly frequently. They're not uncommon.
Right.
But Mrs. White Bull's type of coma actually very rare. She was in a coma for 16 years.
Holy cow.
Which is, that's a long time to be in a coma.
It is.
Uh-huh. So, there are other people out there like her. Have you heard of, Sonny Von Bülow?
Yeah.
Reversal of Fortune?
Sure.
Yeah. So she's been in a coma for 19 years.
Really?
Uh-huh. And a couple of years back, actually, she was moved from this, very, very expensive, care facility to a slightly less expensive one. It was estimated that her family was spending about $500,000 on her care, as well as hairstylists and manicures and stuff like that. So they finally had to say, "We got to move you, Ma."
Right. Was she in the coma from the attempted murder?
Yes.
Really?
Allegedly by her husband, Klaus von Bülow.
Right, who recently passed away, correct?
Actually, it was she who passed away.
Oh, okay.
She did. And this is actually kind of common. I'm not sure how she passed away, but, people in comas sometimes, pass away from pneumonia or something like that.
It's right.
Just their body's not functioning very well. So
right.
They can succumb to things like that.
Well, apologies for not being up on my, Von Bülow history.
Hey, same here, pal. It's okay. Things move pretty fast in this crazy world of ours.
They do.
So back to, Mrs. White Bull. While Mrs. Von Bülow never woke up, Mrs. White Bull actually did. After 16 years, this is amazing. This is exceedingly rare.
Wow.
Rarer than a 16-plus year coma is waking up from a 16-plus year coma. Basically, she woke up one day while her one of her caregivers was adjusting the sheets on her bed.
Really?
And she lifted her head and shouted, "Don't do that!" And scared, I imagine, the daylights out of this woman.
Oh, yeah.
After that, she was writing notes to her family. She called her mother to say Merry Christmas. This happened in December 1999.
Jeez.
And within like a month, she was at a mall. She wanted to see, you know, how the world had changed.
So she went to a mall.
She went to a mall. It's actually a pretty good place to start.
Yeah, you're right.
Because, I mean, back when she fell into a coma, Reagan had just started his second term.
Right, right.
Think about how much the world changed between 1984 and 1999.
Right, no kidding.
And she woke up just in time to get nervous for Y2K.
Yeah.
You know?
Good timing.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Isn't that it's kind of an uplifting story.
Yeah, we could end it right here, and I would be happy, probably.
I would, too, actually.
But we're not.
Yeah. So you want to talk about comas then?
I think so.
I take it from that solicitation?
Yes.
All right. Well, Chuck, let me start.
Okay.
Because I haven't spoken enough so far.
I agree.
I'm just going to kick it off with coma. Comes from the Greek word coma, appropriately enough.
Right, with a K.
With a K. That's the big distinction.
Yes.
And that word is to sleep in the Greek dialect.
Uh-huh.
And that's actually pretty misleading, isn't it?
It is, because... when you're asleep, you can wake up, and if you're in a coma, you're not waking up. You don't respond to stimuli like, sight or motor function, stuff like that.
Yeah. And so you can sit there and shout all day at a coma patient. They're not waking up.
Right.
They also don't respond to pain stimuli.
True.
They're just basically out.
Right. But the brain, functions.
Part of it does, right?
Right.
Okay. So, we should probably talk about the brain. To understand a coma, you kind of have to have a minor understanding of the brain, right?
Major understanding. Yeah.
Major understanding, exactly. So we've got basically three parts.
Yes.
That work to make us these, you know, talking monkeys that we are.
Right.
You got the cerebrum, cerebellum, and the brainstem.
Uh-huh.
And they communicate with one another. So your cerebrum, that's your higher brain.
Yeah, that controls things like emotion, memory, intelligence, personality.
Reason.
Learning.
Context.
Yeah, it's what most people think of when they think of the brain.
Right.
All that good stuff's in there.
Right.
And it's the largest part, too.
And then you've got the cerebellum, which is in charge of balance and movement.
Right. Also very important.
And then the most ancient part of the brain, evolutionarily speaking, is the brain stem.
Right.
This is like the basic part of the brain. It controls like breathing, blood pressure,
right.
Bowel movements, actually.
Yeah, bodily functions.
Exactly. So you put all these together, and you got us, intelligent, reasoning, pooping humans.
Yeah, wrap a skull around it and some skin, and you've got a human.
Exactly. And all these things have to kind of communicate with one another, and they do so through the thalamus.
Uh-huh.
And they send chemical signals to one another that makes your lungs inflate and deflate and makes you think this person's making fun of me or they're after me or something.
Right.
There's all this stuff combined, as you said, makes us this way. If they stop talking to one another, you got yourself an altered state of consciousness.
Exactly. And there's quite a few of those.
Yeah. You want to talk about some of the other altered states?
There's the vegetative state that a lot of people get confused with coma. It's not exactly the same thing. And a vegetative state is actually a type of coma. But you're generally awake, but unresponsive. So your eyes can be open, but you're still unresponsive.
It is generally confused with coma because it usually comes after a coma.
Correct.
These people like Mrs. White Bull and Mrs. Von Bulow, who were in comas for dozens of years or tens of years, were in a vegetative state after X amount of time.
Right.
So if you're in a coma and you go into a vegetative state, you're probably in a lot of trouble. You're probably not going to come out of it.
Right.
Some part of your brainstem responds to stimuli, like maybe a sound. So all of a sudden your eyes, which are no longer coordinated, so they're kind of lolling around, but both in the same direction toward the sound.
Uh-huh.
But there's no awareness of it. You're not using any of your higher brain function to figure out what the sound is. It's just like a basic response.
Right. Your eyes can move. I believe there could be like yawning even. You can yawn if you're in a vegetative
state.
Yeah, you
can blink, that kind of thing.
Blinking.
And the one real hallmark of a vegetative state is people in it have sleep cycles. So you know, during the day, they're diurnal still. During the day, they will, you know, blink or their eyes will loll about in their head or they'll turn their head toward something. And then at night they're not doing that. They're sleeping.
Sure.
And in a coma, you just appear to be sleeping the whole time.
Exactly.
So that's one. There's another one that is one of my particular favorite altered states of consciousness.
Stupor?
That actually scared me.
Okay.
Apparently, if you are whacked out of your skull on drugs and you're in a stupor, you're like one or two steps away from comatose.
Yeah.
It's all the same process is going on. Uh-huh. It's just, I guess, to a slightly different degree.
Right. But
that's alarming.
It is.
You know?
So watch out, buddy.
I'm watching out.
But I distracted you. I knew which one you were going to talk about.
You just like to say stupor.
I do.
The one I like the most is locked-in syndrome.
Yeah.
I can't believe I just said that. The one I like the most.
The one you find most fascinating.
Thank you, Chuck. Locked-in syndrome is basically where you can move. Your higher brain is—or you can't move. You're totally aware, though. Your higher brain is functioning.
Exactly.
You are literally locked into your body. And basically the only thing you can move are your eyes, typically.
Right.
And that's like Jean-Dominique Bobby from The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
Right, which is a great movie. We were just talking with Jerry, our producer, beforehand. We've both seen the film. It's really, really, really great. But you have not because you're too busy watching Magnum P.I.
Quiet you.
Yeah.
I have. I know enough about the story when it came out. You know, I listened to NPR. And they talked about that like 7 days in a row, I think.
It's really good.
But the guy, because he could move his eyes, he had a computer software system that he could type with it.
Yeah.
But he wrote a book in this locked in state.
Yes.
Right? And he typed every single letter of this book.
By looking at the
by choosing like a keyboard, right? Or from like a computer screen keyboard.
I believe that's what happened.
That's nuts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was! And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But, I mean, imagine that. Imagine being locked in.
I know.
And knowing exactly what was going on.
I know. Very frustrating, I imagine.
It's very much like the Metallica video 1, except that guy could move.
Right. Which was from the film Johnny Got His Gun, I think.
Thank you.
Wow.
Very nice.
I'm a fountain of film knowledge today.
So those are a couple of other altered states of consciousness, in case you're interested. If not, you should have fast-forwarded through the last, minute and a half, maybe two. And we're back to coma again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so somebody falls into a coma. How does this happen? What are some of the ways you can become comatose?
Well, there's a bunch of ways. One way is from brain injury, obviously. If you have severe head trauma, you can get an impact that actually makes your brain move within your skull, and I know that if your brain actually hits your skull, that's what a concussion is, correct?
I believe so.
But something more severe than that can cause blood vessels and nerve fibers to swell up and that can potentially cut off the flow of blood and therefore oxygen to the brain, and that's when you're in trouble.
You want your skull to be stationary at all times.
Yes,
or you want your brain to be stationary at all times in your skull.
Yes.
That's just not good when it slaps around in there.
No, it's not.
So you can also become comatose if you have diabetes.
Right, diabetes, certain diseases like meningitis can make it happen, drug overdose can make it happen.
Yeah.
Although I believe you told me they don't even know exactly how that happens. Is that right?
I don't know how it happens. I couldn't find out what leads to it. The way I took it was that there's a it slows your response.
Uh-huh.
It slows the oxygen to your brain or the flow of oxygen to your brain, or it just relaxes muscles that need to be working. I don't know. This is literally off the top of my head right now.
I sense a neurosurgeon email in the near future to clear this up
for
us.
Yeah, I hope so. Because I want to know. But yeah, there are plenty of ways that you can slip into a coma. And actually, you can slip into a coma. You can go through stages of altered consciousness.
Right.
And then end up comatose, which is the granddaddy worst one of all.
Exactly.
Although, I don't know, locked in's probably worse.
Right. But it can happen gradually. That's a good point. Which
or
is where
it can
the term
happen
comes from.
Very quickly, like, you know, through a major concussion, through a car accident or something like that. If you slipped into a diabetic coma, that would happen gradually, usually.
Right, exactly. You might get feverish and dizzy and lethargic, and then all of a sudden you're in a coma, which is frightening.
It is. Do you have diabetes?
No.
Me neither.
I might one day, though. I think my father got it later in his life.
Is it genetic?
I don't know. I sense another letter from a person with diabetes to clear that up.
At this point, we could just start asking questions.
We
and
should.
Then read, do like a 20-minute reader mail segment, you
right.
know, just correcting ourselves every time.
It's a good idea.
All right, so what do you do if you're in a coma? I mean, here, let me just say one thing real quick. After researching comas, you know how when you have a heart attack, your heart actually isn't stopped. It's gone out of its rhythmic beat.
Sure.
So when you are zapped, right, when they hit you with the paddles, what they're doing is actually stopping your heart to give it a chance to restart.
Right.
With a coma, it seems like the pattern of discussion between the different parts of your brain that make you conscious and aware, it's been interrupted. But we don't know how to zap it back into place.
Exactly. That's a good way to say it.
But, you know, I mean, you still have to care for these people.
Exactly.
You can't just say, well, you know, we don't really know how to do anything to make you better.
Right.
There are some ways. Drug overdose, if you sustain someone's life processes, they can come out after the drug begins to wear off, or same with alcohol poisoning.
Right.
A diabetic coma.
They all
can be treated.
Actually.
Yeah. But one, say, like from a major brain injury, you may be in big trouble.
Right.
Or a stroke.
Sure. I think the first thing that has to happen is a doctor has to determine whether or not you're actually in a coma. That's the first step.
Yeah, how do they do that?
Well, there's a couple of scales they use to determine your level of alertness, and one is from Glasgow. It's called the Glasgow Coma Scale.
Oh, is that how it said it? There's no accent associated with it?
I'm not going to try my Scottish accent today. Okay. And then there's the Rancho Los Amigos Scale.
No.
I'm not going to do that either.
All right.
We're going to remain respectful in this one. And basically the doctors use these two scales, and there's varying tests of responsiveness with your eyes, verbal responses, motor responses to various stimuli.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do this to determine, they use both of these scales actually, to basically gauge how alert you are and whether or not you're in fact in a coma.
So is it like they just clap loudly next to your ears and command you to sit up or something like that?
I would say so. I mean, they use, do your eyes open when someone speaks to you?
Mm-hmm.
Do your eyes open when there's pain involved? So there's all kinds of little ways that they can check. And
yeah, I guess they want to determine whether you're in a coma or whether you're just, you know, resting your eyes or playing possum
right.
because of what comes after that.
Right. And they assign you a score in a range from 3 to 15.
Right.
3 being a very deep coma and 15 being...
us right now, right?
Yeah. I'm about 14, but yeah.
All right. So we've established you're in a coma.
Uh-huh.
It's awful. You're a 3.
Right.
All right, so you are just completely dead to the world, but you're still alive, amazingly.
Right, that would be comatose and unresponsive is the official classification of that deep of a coma.
Okay, so you're in there. If you're in a car injury, what they're going to do, they're going to triage your symptoms, your problems.
Right.
So if you're in a car wreck or something, you have injuries from that, they're going to, you know, control the bleeding, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they want to stabilize everything else first.
Right.
Or not but first, but, you know.
Once you're stable, though... and you're still in a coma, you can't care for yourself any longer. So it's kind of like they're going to poke around to determine what the cause is, maybe. They'll use an EEG, electroencephalography.
Right, or MRI or fMRI, which is basically an MRI for the brain.
Right.
Or a CT scan, which is computed tomography.
Right. Now, they'll use all these things to basically either look inside. An EEG actually is basically kind of like hooking into your electrical system and checking out, you know, how the impulses are doing.
Right.
And they'll diagnose, you know, maybe what caused the coma, that kind of thing. So once you're stabilized, diagnosed in a coma, you know, you've been given the scale rating, and you're in for the long haul, clearly.
Right, you're stable.
Yeah, they're going to basically use machines to care for you, like feeding tubes.
Right.
Oftentimes, somebody in a prolonged coma or a vegetative state, they'll perform a tracheotomy.
Sure.
So they don't have to intubate you, because after a while, that intubation tube, I imagine, gets real, you know, uncomfortable.
Right.
That actually so much so that you would prefer a hold of the throat.
Right.
Yeah. Aside, one of my best friends, a guy named Jens Beatty, in sixth grade, his mom started choking in a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And actually had an emergency tracheotomy with a steak knife and a pen performed on her. Yeah. There was a doctor there who did it, and he just went, whoosh,
holy cow.
She was breathing again.
That's a worst case scenario right there.
She used to have this little scar. I'm sure she still does. But
wow,
it was crazy. Yeah, it's the only person I ever knew who had an emergency tracheotomy.
Seriously,
with this
I thought that was something just, you know, you get on the ER or house or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, it happens. It happens.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies, from The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was! And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So back to comas. Another thing that is often done is physical therapy just to keep the muscles moving. The nurses will move the patient to prevent bed sores and then move the muscles, flex the legs to keep, you know, atrophy from setting in.
Right. Or if you're Uma Thurman, you can do a really focused, you know, regime,
right,
within an 8-hour period and you'll be walking again, right?
True.
Yeah. So wow, we need to bring this down a little bit, don't we?
I think so.
Yeah, because researching it, it's when you really get a grasp on comas,
mm-hmm,
and the peculiar nature of them and just the fact that we have no way to bring somebody out of a coma,
right?
It's kind of heartbreaking to think that there are families out there who go to the hospital every day or every week
hoping.
And you hope, because there's people like Patricia Whitebull,
right,
who sit up all of a sudden, and there you have it. You know, somebody can come out of a long coma. That's rough.
True. I've got a study for you that might encourage you a bit.
I'd love to hear it.
It's from 2006. It's from Dr. Adrian Owen of Cambridge University, a neuroscientist, and he's trying to determine a consciousness meter for people in comas in vegetative states. So what he does is he hooks a normal, healthy person up to an fMRI machine, which mm-hmm. I know you understand how that works, right?
Well, it uses magnetic imaging mm-hmm. to see through the skull. And basically it's watching the brain and it's watching the electrical activity in the brain.
Okay.
So if, you know, the prefrontal cortex lights up when you tell somebody to, you know, when somebody sees a bunny, you'll know that the prefrontal cortex is involved in, okay. in taking cuteness into context or something.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Oh, thanks.
So he'll hook up a healthy person and then someone in a coma or vegetative state and ask them to do something like imagine playing a game of tennis, I believe is what he used on this one woman.
Mm-hmm.
And he found that the brain activity was really similar for both of these people, which led him to believe that there may be a lot more brain activity going on in some of these different states of mind. So,
yeah, that pretty much flatly contradicts our understanding of vegetative states.
True, but it also, this was one person, I believe, that it was successful in, and I'm sure there's been subsequent studies since, but he himself said that, you know, we need to keep studying this kind of thing before
Definitely.
We make any determinations.
Yeah, yeah, we need to basically figure out how to bring people out of comas.
Right, but it does happen. You can come out of a coma.
Yeah, no, you totally can.
You can't bring someone out of a coma, but I think they said that 87% who score a 3 or 4 on the scale within the first 24 hours are likely to either die or remain in the vegetative state, so that's no good.
No.
But on the other side, 87% who score between 11 to 15 are likely to make a good recovery. So,
well, it makes sense. I mean, if you can, you know, shake somebody's hand when they tell you to,
right,
you're probably going to make it.
But apparently it's those first 24 hours are really telling.
Yeah, I would imagine so. So that's comas, huh?
That's my understanding of comas.
The great medical mystery that still remains.
Yes.
Solved one day. Maybe.
Hope so.
All right. Chilling. Chuck, you want to do listener mail?
Yeah, let's do listener mail. And I'm starting to separate listener mail into different categories now.
The cream from the rest of the crop, as it were?
Exactly.
The men from the boys?
Well, just more like a good way to...
The women from the girls?
Shut it. Okay. So, first of all, we've decided to change this one part to stuff we should know. This is instead of corrections. A lot of times they're not an actual correction, but something a listener has added that we did not realize.
Or stuff we should have known.
Stuff we should have known. We can call it that. But that actually came from Brian Smith of California, suggested we call it that.
Yeah, we are actively following our listeners' commands
right.
at this point.
So, Brian, we appreciate the title there, and we're going to use that now. So, something we did miss in the body armor episode, we talked about a lot of kinds of body armor, which was good. But we failed to mention one new, very awesome one called dragon skin armor. And apparently these are little small overlapping ceramic discs, sort of like the medieval scale mail, and it's just a modern version, essentially, and it's more effective from repeated hits from a bullet. So quite a few people sent this in. Michael Shivitz, retired naval officer,
mm-hmm.
or I don't know about officer, but retired U.S. Navy. Reno Marino, or Renee Marino from Brooklyn, and Devin Montes in California, and I'm sure we missed a few others, but...
Yeah, we actually got a lot of mail about the dragon scales. I have to say I find it comforting to know that we're advancing light years now.
Right. And I have one more quick one, and this is apropos to our topic today of comas. John Mulqueen is a doctor in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And John wrote in and said, I thought it would never happen, but I heard a mistake on Stuff You Should Know. Exorcism, apparently, you said, this was not me, you said that someone with epilepsy, you could throw somebody in an MRI machine and look at the parts of the brain and see that someone is epileptic. And John says that actually you would not see epilepsy in an MRI. Seizures are diagnosed with an EEG machine, which is what we just spoke about. So,
gotcha.
We appreciate that correction.
Yeah, thank you. Is he from Farmington?
Framingham? No, he's from Gardner, Mass.
Well, XXOO to all of our listeners who sent mail, and you too can send mail. You can send it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com. And I got to tell you, there's plenty more information on comas in the great article on the site called How Comas Work. Just type those three little words into our handy search bar at, of course, howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready.
Are you?
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.